Well, I see Brianna Noble of the Detroit News with the headline, Ford manages Q2 sales increase on trucks, EVs, and hybrids. Congratulations to all of the hardworking men and women of Ford Motor Company and their leaders, Jim Farley, Bill Ford. There was also good news for General Motors. Congratulations to all those hard workers, including Mary Barra and Mark Royce. I'm not sure if the Stellantis numbers are out, but Stellantis is all over the news. It's not always the best of news. Here's one headline. Temporary layoffs hit two Stellantis plants. That's not a good headline, but I haven't heard the numbers. But the guy who knows this stuff in his sleep, Paul Eisenstein, automotive journalist extraordinaire. And he's here to talk to us about the investment Stellantis has that has, it's up in the air. It's got nothing to do with their cars on the road. It's the freedom of travel everywhere and every way, including in the air. Paul, I don't know. Are they spreading out at a time when maybe they should be paying a little closer attention to how things are going in the auto business?
Well, they're two very different businesses. And by the way, let me fill you in. They did have a low double-digit decline during the second quarter of the year. That on top of not having a very good first quarter either. You may recall that Carlos Tavares, the CEO of Stellantis, recently acknowledged that he was a little arrogant. That's his word, not mine, arrogant, for missing some of the things that actually hurt the company's sales in North America. And yes, that has led them to have to delay operations and do some layoffs at a few of the plants here in the Metro Detroit area, Warren Truck and down in Toledo. But should they not be focusing on the other business? No, I think they're doing the right thing. And for people who really aren't familiar with this, what they're doing is they're investing another $55 million in a company called Archer that is developing, you could call them flying cabs.
And that's combined with last year's $110 million investment.
Right.
And so you throw in this additional $55 million just announced for what will be, for all intents and purposes, an air taxi service, and not just an air taxi service, but an electric air taxi service.
Yeah, everybody is going electric. And the important point, we've been following this fairly heavily on my website, headlight.news. And in fact, I have a story that will be going up. I'll probably put it up sometime this holiday from a gentleman by the name of Tim Jackson, who's been writing extensively, just put out a book. Some of you're going to need to get on the air sometime soon. About all the efforts that are going into these new flying, in some cases flying cars, in some cases flying cabs. There's a difference because there are a couple manufacturers that are actually developing craft that you can fly as an airplane and then drive on the road. A lot of others, including the stuff that Archer is developing, and Joby, a company that is partnered with Toyota, and there's a few others partnering with automakers. These really are designed simply to fly from point A to point B. They're not road-worthy vehicles. You can't drive them. And Archer seems to be one of the more advanced companies. They've actually done what is critical. They've done what's called transition flying. In other words, they take off almost like a helicopter. And at one point, they then start flying forward more like an airplane. Then when they reach their destination, they transition again and they land vertically. And that, as you may know, is an extraordinarily difficult task. The military's tried to do it with the Osprey, and they've had a lot of crashes.
Well, they've failed miserably. The Osprey is a failed craft that's being held together by congresspeople who get big money for their districts to keep it going. I mean, we had a guy back when I was in Philadelphia, went to jail for the behind-the-scenes shenanigans that were happening with Osprey, and yet it still flies today. Please don't tell me that these guys are building a car like that.
No, they're very, very different technologies. I've been following it quite extensively. It appears that the way they're doing this is much, much different. And one of the things that they're doing is all of these are very much drone-like. First of all, they use electric motors, which are much simpler. They really work for aircraft. And you have multiple rotors. In some cases, some of these craft have as many as 12. I think one even has 16 individual rotors, so that if you had a failure of one, even in some cases several different rotors simultaneously, you'd still be able to continue flying and, more importantly, landing.
Yes, that becomes very important, doesn't it?
Hey, yeah, it does.
And by the way, go ahead.
You're going to see this. I absolutely believe this is going to happen. These craft are largely aimed at regional markets. So, for example, maybe from Detroit Metro, you'd be able to take that and go up to a little place up in Troy or even Lansing or someplace else, you know, anywhere from, you know, 15 to 150 miles. They would replace the helicopters that you see in a number of cities. New York City is a great example.
Right.
And it's interesting that you have so many automakers getting into it. Many of them are partnered, like Stellantis and Archer or Toyota and Joby. Hyundai has actually started its own company. I saw the craft that they're developing. It hasn't flown yet, but I saw it out at the Consumer Electronics Show in January. It's pretty impressive. This technology is real. It's not pie in the sky. Will we have flying cars that you and I can buy? Maybe. Will we have these drone-like robocabs, some using pilots, some designed to fly without a pilot? Yeah, that stuff's real.
Well, it's, you know, we keep going back to the Jetsons, and they were predicting this a long, long time ago. We kind of thought it would happen by now because so many other things have. But I have to tell you, the first CEO in the last 50 years that I have not met at one of the auto companies is Carlos Tavares. Never met him. Don't know when he's around. I get the impression he's not around as much as the other guys because he's running companies in other countries. And I always thought he was very good, and I thought he was very tough. Now I'm questioning some of these things. The only news stories we ever get about him is like when he got paid $39 million or whatever. And I don't know about all the rest of this. And look, on the front page of a newspaper, when the dealers say they're not being provided with vehicles that meet the standards of the vehicles they're trying to beat out, that's a frightening headline.
Yeah, it is. And I think that Tavares is going to have to make some real changes here in the U.S. operation, the U.S. side of the company. He is an impressive man. I won't mention who, but I can tell you the CEO of one of the other Detroit manufacturers that doesn't wear a skirt once called him a few years ago the single best CEO in the industry.
Kind of narrows it down, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And I think you'll find I have heard him called the best by other CEOs around the industry.
I thought that Mr. Fain was going to run into a brick wall when he ran into Carlos Tavares, and that's not what happened. However, I didn't think of the other strategy, which Tavares followed. They went along with everything. And now they're just cutting jobs, moving more people to Mexico and to other places, China, and and he wants to get the hell out of Dodge. They may not even be in Detroit for all we know 5 years from now.
They will be, and the focus will be largely based on larger truck products, whether they be their big SUVs or their pickup trucks. You're going to see less and less of a U.S. focus, certainly in engineering and design, here in this country on the smaller vehicles, and a heavier emphasis on using technology brought in from their European brands like Citroën and PSA and the like. And, of course, you'll continue to see an emphasis on some of the European, the Italian brands like Fiat and Alfa Romeo. One thing that speaks highly of Carlos, remember how long GM suffered losing ultimately billions of dollars on the Opel and Vauxhall brands. It finally sold them off. Carlos had those two brands back in the black within less than 2 years.
Yep, that was a big deal. That's for sure. Hey, did you say headlight.news for that column, that article?
Yeah, we have one up. If you search for robo-taxis, you'll find a piece that we had up already. I'm going to be putting up a piece on Archer in a couple of hours. I've been out on assignment today, but it will be up later. And the gentleman I mentioned to you, Tim Jackson, who you'll definitely want to get on the show, he is giving me an excerpt of his book, and I will have that on the site by the beginning of next week.
Beautiful. Paul Eisenstein, very happy 4th of July holiday to you.
And to you as well, and to all the listeners.
Paul Eisenstein, here in Focus with Paul W. Smith on WJR.